Old-Fashioned Narratives, Volume 2, written by Vladimir Odoyevsky, narrated by Virginia Ferguson. Chapter 1, The Ghost, from Travel Notes, to Nikolai Vasilievich Putatya. There were four of us in the carriage, a retired captain, a director, Reni Modestovich and I. The captain and the director were very formal with each other and exchanged pleasantries. Occasionally, they engaged in a debate, but not for long. Reni Modestovich talked ceaselessly. Everything, a passing equipage, a passer-by, a village, gave him a reason for another conversation. Overjoyed, his listeners could not jump out of the carriage to run away from him. He told one tale after another. House spirits, demons, and ghosts featured prominently in each one. I could not help wondering where he had picked up so much nonsense, and nodded off to the sound of his thin voice. My travelling companions listened to him with some attention, out of boredom, which was exactly what Reni Modestovich wanted.
"What is that castle?"
the retired captain asked, looking out the window.
"You probably know a curious story of some sort about it," he added, addressing Reni Modestovich. "I do know about it," Reni Modestovich replied. "It is the same story one might tell about many buildings. People used to live there. They ate, they drank, and they died. This particular castle, however, reminds me of a tale in which a similar castle plays an important role. Imagine everything I'm about to tell you had taken place under these crumbling arches. It matters not, as long as there is faith in the storyteller. All travellers tell their stories the same way. They simply lack my sincerity. When I was young, I often visited a neighbour of mine, a very pleasant woman. Do not imagine there was anything reproachable about it. My neighbour was of the age women themselves call past their prime. She had neither daughters nor nieces. Her house was much like any other in town, three or four rooms, a dozen armchairs, as many chairs, a couple of lamps in the dining room, a couple of candles in the sitting room. I don't know what it was, but there was something about that woman's address, in her most ordinary words, her redwood table covered with oilcloth, or the very walls of her house, which whispered into my ears every evening, 'Won't you go visit Maria Sergeyevna?' I wasn't the only one to feel this. During long winter evenings, uninvited guests gathered at her place as if having agreed in advance. We occupied ourselves in the most ordinary ways. We drank tea, played whist, and paged through magazines. But somehow we enjoyed doing all this more at Maria Sergeyevna's than at any other house. We all of us found this very strange. The reason was, as I know now, that Maria Sergeyevna never imposed on anyone with any requests or household troubles. She did not like gossip. She did not tell anyone about any incidents in the area or the behaviour of her servants. She did not try winkling out of you what you wished to conceal. She did not shower you with kindnesses to your face only to mock you as soon as you were out the door. She did not get angry when one of us failed to appear in her sitting room for months on end and even forgot her birthday. She possessed none of the features which made the company of other ladies unbearable. She was neither hypocritical nor superstitious. She never demanded of you to think or say something. She was never appalled if your opinion contradicted hers. She did not ask for donations. She did not force anyone to play cards or piano. She understood tolerance to the fullest, and any respectable person in her sitting room could do, think, and say anything he wanted. In other words, her house was ruled by good manners, so rare in society, its essence still not fully understood. I myself felt the stark difference in Maria Sergeyevna's address and lifestyle and those of other women, but I did not know how to express
Sample complete. Ready to continue?